of the Old Testament, the books of the New Testament? Do you know what happened on the 7 days of creation? Who the judges in Israel were, the kings of Israel or Judah? Do you know what the fruit of the Spirit are? The Christian virtues? When I was 16, I learned the 12 sons of Jacob. I memorized them. I did not learn them because I opened up my Bible and said, boy, I've got to learn these. Let me find them, list them, repeating them over and over again in my mind. I didn't learn them because I went to a Bible class where in the Bible class they said, here it is, and we went through it. I learned it because at that time, 4-year-old brother came home and said, hey, Edwin, I want to teach you a song. And it was the 12 sons of Jacob. And here I am now 30 years later, and I still remember it. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, Benjamin. These are the 12 sons of Jacob. Anybody know that song? A couple of you? All right. It's amazing what that kind of drilling and practicing and learning can do, is it just locks the scripture in and the information from the Bible in there. I am excited to share with you that starting next Sunday night at 4:30, a few minutes before our evening assembly, J.T. Fannin and I are going to kick off a Bible drill. We're going to start working with our kids because what we want to do is help everyone know their Bible. We want to make sure that all of us know the Bible. For our guests, when you come to our Getting to Know Livingston class, which, by the way, happens on the first Sunday of every month, the next one's going to be next Sunday. One of the things that we will say is that we are a Bible-based fellowship. We believe that the Bible is the only reliable record of God's Word, and we want to know it. We want everybody to know it, from the youngest to the oldest. And so we have Bible classes for all ages. We have lessons in just about every time we come together. Tonight, we're going to be getting together for what we call our text talk because we have a Bible reading plan that we want everyone in the congregation going through. And on the fourth Sunday night of the month, Andrew and I get up here kind of very informally and just answer questions that have been submitted because we want to know the Bible and we want to pass the Bible on to as many people as we can. So we invite you to be back tonight at 5:00 for us to talk about the end of Luke and some of the questions that have come in on that. We want everybody to know the Bible. And so we even have some drill time for some of our older kids after Sunday evening assembly. What we want to do is add in some drill time for even some of the youngest kids, though anybody can show up. But we're going to do that starting next Sunday at 4:30. And I just want to talk to you about why and the benefit that it's going to provide for the children and even for you if you decide to show up, no matter how old you are, at 4:30 on Sunday evening. We will not be doing it, of course, on the second Sunday night of the month right now where we're having house to house. But other than that, first, third, fourth, and fifth Sundays, we're going to be here at 4:30 going through some of these songs, learning different things, memory work, even a couple of games like old or new. Is that found in the Old Testament or the New Testament? Which came first? Did Joseph come before James? You know, those kinds of things. All these kinds of learning experiences for our kids. So I want to talk to you about that a little bit this morning and just pump you up for that and get us excited about knowing the Bible. Before we get into that, would you bow with me in prayer, please? God and Father in heaven, thank you very much for the day that you've given us, this opportunity we have to be here to worship you. Because you have given us your word, and we have read and learned from your word about your son, about your church, about all that you have done for us, as you have revealed your mind and your will to us. Help us today to be excited simply about knowing your mind and your will as you have revealed it in the Bible. Help us, Father, to pass this on to our children and our grandchildren that we might raise them up to bring glory to you, that they might be raised up in your nurture and your instruction and your admonition. Father, help us to know your word, to know the Bible. We love you, Father. It's through your Son, Jesus, that we pray. Amen. So why would we do something like this? Why is it so important for us to pass the Bible on? Why do you need to know your Bible? And why are we going to be working with the kids like this? I'll tell you what, the very first thing is, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4 points out that the things that we read in the Bible are there for our instruction. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, here's what Paul said to us. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. It's through the Scripture, it's through knowing the Word that we have hope. And we've got kids, and we live in a world that's not full of much hope. We want our kids to have hope. I'm going to tell you what we need to be teaching them is the Scripture, because it's the stories of the Scripture that give us hope. It's the stories in the Scripture. It's the teachings in the Scripture that give us hope. And so we want to provide this foundation. I get it. We're going to start off with the who's who and the what's what, the very simple things. And I know as they grow, they'll start focusing on the how's how and the why's why, and they'll get into deeper things as they get older. But it's this foundation that will help provide hope for eternity. In fact, you can think about this from Hebrews chapter 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Hebrew writer wanted to give that hope. And so what does he do? He goes back and he reminds his readers of all these folks in those Old Testament stories, those things that were written for our instruction. And he talks about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab and Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets. And you want to know how I know that? Because we've got a song for that. It can remind you. Here are these folks that have served the Lord, and it provides that foundation. These things were written for our instruction, and as we pass these things on to our children, as they learn these things, as they build on these things, the result is hope. The result is encouragement. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, as Paul was writing to his protege in 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, he says to Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We understand that the Scriptures contain things which will give our children wisdom, leading to salvation and to completeness in Christ. It's in the Scriptures where we find wisdom. It's not in the self-help section of our local bookstore. It's not on the radio or in the movies or on television. It's in the Scripture that we find the wisdom that will lead us to salvation. When I look at little children, I see innocence. I see innocence. They don't know sin yet. Not in the intimate sense of knowing good versus evil. They haven't become dominated by sin yet, but it is going to happen. And what we have is a few years where that innocence dominates, where we can open up their minds and their eyes to the Word of God so that when that day does come, when they do understand sin and they do realize how awful their sin is, they've already know, here's the direction I need to go. I've had a foundation that was laid. And that's what Paul says to Timothy. You remember the foundation that was laid for you when you were a child? He said, I want you to get back to that. I want you to remember that. I want you to build on that. Because it produces wisdom that leads to salvation. And then he also talks about the fact that as we learn the Scriptures, it makes the man of God complete, equipped for every good work. I've wanted that for my children. Not when they get to be 60, but by the time they're 16. I want them to know. I want them to learn. I want that to be filling their minds and their hearts so that they can know how they ought to behave in the household of God, which is His church, as 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 says. And we can do that by providing this information, by teaching, by learning, by knowing the Scriptures. The other thing that this can do for us, for our kids especially, is it'll give our children a framework from which to understand the great Bible messages and themes. Themes like forgiveness and love and mercy and judgment, benevolence, justice, all these kinds of things that we find out in the Scripture. Obviously, we're not going to be able in a little Bible drill time of 15 to 20 minutes singing songs and memorizing a couple of verses and playing a couple of neat little games like is it in the Old Testament or the New Testament? We're not getting into all of those deep themes during that time. But what we are doing is laying the groundwork. We're laying the foundation. We're hanging the hooks on which our children can hang all of that stuff as they remember those things. Back in Mark chapter 4. in Mark chapter 4, verses 23 through 25. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 23, Jesus said, "If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away." What's he talking about? He's talking about the more you have, the more you get. What we're trying to do is lay that foundation, that framework, where it starts, so that you have, and so that our kids are hearing, and because they have had and they have heard, it can grow and it can increase over the years. I remember my wife telling me about a class that she took in college. She went to a Christian college that you might have heard of. And she talked about the Old Testament history class that she had to take and how the final was basically just handed like three sheets of paper and had to write out the Old Testament history. I'm going to tell you what, if she had gone to our Bible drill, it would have been easy because she would have worked through a couple of songs and it would have been there. She'd have had the 7 days of creation. She'd have had the 10 plagues of Israel. She would have known the judges and be able to fill that out and the kings of Israel and Judah. She'd have had it. It'd have been a cakewalk. Guys, y'all may want to start coming to Bible drill. Just saying. Because it's the foundation that you can hang everything else that you learn on. It sets that framework that we can build on. That's what we would be providing our children. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6. In Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, a well-known passage, it says to us, "Train up your children in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." One of the things that Bible drill will help with is training up our kids. Now, whether you take Proverbs 22:6 as the very positive thing that most of us read it as, that, boy, you train them in the right ways and they'll always come back to it, or if, as we've learned, that it may actually be going the other direction, that if you train a child in his own way, if you just let him go his own way, he won't leave that. Whichever way you take it, the thing that we learn from it is, what do we need to be doing? We need to be training our kids. We need to be training our children. And honestly, here's what Bible drill does. It trains in two ways. I mean, there's just the first way is it just trains them in Bible knowledge. Here's the Bible facts. Here's the Bible information. Here's the Bible stories. Here's the Bible themes. Here's the Bible messages. And it's training that up and drilling it down into the mind. So there it is. They know it and they can call it to mind. I'll tell you, there's a second way in which Bible drill will train. Your kids live in your house. They know how hard it is to get ready. They know how hard it is to get here on time. They know how hard it'll be to add 30 minutes to the time before you're going to get here. And when they see parents that say, "You know what? Knowing the Bible is so important, we're going to make those sacrifices. Knowing the Bible is so important, worshiping God is so important that when the church is gathered together, we're going to be there no matter what it causes us to sacrifice. When the church is gathered and teaching the scripture, we're going to be there and we're going to be there on time and we're going to go through all the sacrifice to get there ahead of time." You know what your kids learn? Your kids learn, man, worshiping God, learning his word, that's important. I mean, I get it. There's some important things in life, but man, my family thinks this right here, what we're doing here, is important. And it trains our kids up in understanding how important it is to worship God and to learn his word. It also helps us instruct our children, informing our children. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, under the old covenant, Moses explained that the Israelites needed to teach their children. Here's how he said it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You'll write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." What Moses says to the Israelites is you need to be teaching your kids. Paul brings that same thing into the new covenant in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 when he says that fathers aren't supposed to provoke their kids, but rather to bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. But I love this picture back under the old covenant as Moses was encouraging them to teach their children. It wasn't just the idea of, all right, make sure that every day you have a Bible class. It wasn't just the idea of make sure that you get them enrolled in Sabbath school. Was the idea that as the parents, you're spending time. Are you sitting down in the house? You're talking about the Word of God. Are you walking in the way? You're talking about the Word of God and His will. Are you going to bed? You're talking about the Word of God and His will. Are you getting up in the morning? You're talking about the Word of God and His will. It's just that idea that it's a part of life. We don't walk in the way very much because we have these wonderful inventions called cars. But there's still the commute time. There's still the drive time. Can we spend time while we're driving? Helping our kids learn the Word of God? I'm just going to tell you, Bible drill help with that. You got kids? Kids love to sing these songs. And you can sing these things with them. Going through the fruit of the Spirit and the Christian virtues and the 10 plagues and the judges and the kings and the books of the Bible and the stories that are reminded. David killing Goliath, Zacchaeus, the wee little man. Joseph got a great song about Joseph. Let me tell you a little story about a man, Joseph. And here are things that you have. Laying the kids down. Hey, let's sing a song. Let's work a memory verse. Driving in the car. Let's talk about this song that we sang. Let's sing that together. What are we doing? We're bringing in this instruction, as has always been a part of God's plan for parents and raising children. Raising children. And finally, I will point out one of the things that Bible Drill will do is it'll help you learn, adding knowledge to your faith. In 2 Peter chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 5, for this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue and your virtue with knowledge. Knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection with love. And then he goes on in verse 12. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities, though you know them and are established in the truth that you have. I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. He says, what I want to do is I want to remind you of these things. I know for some of us, as we've gotten older, we take a look at some of these things that we learned as children in songs and in drills, and we think, well, that's just kids' stuff. Actually, none of it is kids' stuff. It's all stuff that all of us need to remember. And especially for the parents, I'm telling you, it'll add to your faith, virtue. It'll add to your virtue, knowledge. Because you will be reminded of these foundational things that you learned years ago. That's what Paul had to do with Timothy. He said, hey, go back. Remember what you learned all the way as a child, those sacred writings. Get back to that. Remember that. It's laying a groundwork for our children. It's setting up a framework. It's pointing them in the right direction. It's getting that information that they can build on. But it's also going to be reminding us. And so next Sunday night at 4:30, J.T. Fan and I are going to be probably right there in the middle section. And we're going to work with the kids. And anybody else who decides to show up. It's for the youngest of kids. Bring your toddlers, bring your infants, come in and sit down with them. On up to however old you want to come. If you want to come in at 6th grade, that's fine. If you want to come in at 66, that's fine. Anybody who wants to come in. We do motions. So for your older folks, you're just going to have to, you got to do the motions. But we're learning the Bible. We're learning the Bible. We're teaching our kids. Next week, 4:30, we're going to be starting that. Knowing the Bible. Knowing the Bible is where hope is. Knowing the Bible is where connecting to God is. Knowing the Bible is where finding Jesus is. And I realize that I haven't really talked to us as adults so much as I've just tried to pump you up for helping the kids. But I hope what I've demonstrated is why knowing the Bible is important. And I also hope I've demonstrated what we're about. Because we're about knowing God. And we can only do that by looking at His mind that He has revealed to us through His Word. And we want to start that young. Are you with me on that? All right. You can go ahead and put your notes away in your Bibles if you want to. Pull out a songbook if you want to follow along. Although, actually, I think this next song is only on the screen. So the lyrics will be up on the screen. We're about knowing the Bible. As I said, we're going to be talking about that again tonight. Shocking. text talk. We're looking at the last couple of chapters of Luke. Got some great questions that we're going to be answering about. Are ghosts real? You want to come back? Andrew's going to be answering that tonight. It was not even fair. We get all these questions as we're walking through them. Andrew's saying, oh, I want to answer that one. Oh, I want to answer that one. Oh, I want to answer that one. So he's answering a bunch of questions tonight. I get a couple. And we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper. We're going to be talking about spirits. We're going to be talking about all kinds of things. So hopefully you can be back tonight. Passover. We're going to be looking at the end of Luke. Anyway, we want to know the Bible. We want to pass the Bible on to you. And I can tell you why. The number one reason why is because looking through the Scripture is where we meet Jesus. It's in the Bible that we meet Jesus. And it's in the Bible that Jesus has pointed out, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. It's in the Bible that it's pointed out that because he died on the cross, was buried in the ground, and raised the third day, he is King, he is Savior, he is Lord. He provides forgiveness and salvation. That's where we find that message. Without the Bible, we wouldn't know that. And so we want to know the Bible. Is that a message that you've already heard and learned and realized, I need to respond to that. I need to surrender to Jesus. I need to confess him. I want to submit to him in baptism, being buried with him and raised to walk in new life. We want to help you with that this morning. If we can help you with that, won't you please come forward right now as we stand and sing.
There is love that came for us, unknown to us.